Hi, I'm Brenda Tremblay. Mark Finney teaches music at John James Audubon School 33 in Rochester, New York, using the Karl Orff Schulwerk method. It combines music and movement, drama and speech into lessons which are fueled by a child's world of play. The movement began in Germany in the 1920s with adults and was revitalized there around 1950. The American Orff Schulwerk Association was founded in Indiana in 1968. Mark Finney says that in his classroom, with his very, very young students, he starts with two basics, a bass sound and then a tone sound.
You know, once we have the basics down, then I ask the children to create simple four-beat rhythms. And we take a couple of those and we have different groups play each rhythm and we put them all together. And I had a fifth grade class that, you should have seen the looks on their faces. They were so amazed. They said, "Wow, this is great. We sounded good." I said, "Yeah, you did very good."
They're not looking at notes on a page.
No, it's pretty much done by rote. They would create a rhythm by saying maybe ta, ta, ti, ti, ta. And we talk about quarter notes and eighth notes, but that's not where our focus is. The focus was for the students to create the rhythm, and then we would in turn play that and hopefully find some rhythms that would match, complement each other, and then we could have a nice little mini performance in the classroom. It's a process of teaching music that was created by Karl Orff and Gunhild Kateman, and they produced, we'll say, five volumes of music, but it was just kind of like a springboard. You use as little or as much as you like and change it in any way to suit your situation and the needs of the children.
Schulwerk means like schoolwork, right, basically?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. So how does it treat making music as a kind of play, or how does it turn music into play?
We might take the words of a nursery rhyme and take the rhythm, and that would might be the drumming part to a song. Well, body percussion basically would be stomping your feet, patting your lap, clapping hands, and snapping. Those are the four parts, and then I quite often ask the students, where else can we keep a steady beat that's quiet, especially if I'm teaching the song to younger kids. Where can you find a silent, steady beat? And they'll come up with their stomach, their back, their elbows, forehead, you name it, we've been there.
And you're working with little kids here, so they must just love it.
They do, and so do I.
So you perform sometimes for, you know, the general school and your parents of your children.
Oh, sure. Well, quite often we'll have, like, say, a holiday concert, and we'll do one in the spring. And, you know, in the past we've had, I have an intermediate chorus, grades 3 through 6, and probably about 170 students. We've had second grade chorus, which would have probably 50, 60 students. Oh, 1 year I did 2 Orff ensembles, so they were playing the xylophones, and 2 drum ensembles we've had. Quite an extensive program, and I would involve probably about 400 kids. Our school has 1,300, and you know, we would start from grades 2 through 6, and I would have probably 400 of those kids involved in the music program presenting a concert.
So what kind of feedback do you get from parents?
Oh, well, it's usually greeted with, "I can't believe it. The kids did such a great job," and then quite often I get a hug from them too. Usually our pre-K and kindergarten students, they're right around me on the podium. Well, they're the best audience. They listen and they're like, "Wow." And then I hear responses from, you know, classroom teachers where they have a student that might, you know, have a little difficulty in the classroom, say, "I want to be part of that." So it's always rewarding, you know, when you think you do make a difference.
Absolutely. So you were trained, and I was in a music class, it was a certain culture, and then you've gone in a completely different direction. First off, like, how is what you do different from your experience?
We were basically in the sit and get. We sat and we were told, And that's what we did. Here it's just like you come in and you do. There's very little sit and get in the room. It's constant activity, music making, you know, prepping to make the music. The kids really just take over, and you take their little sidetrack and take their idea and run with it. That would be the goal of teaching, using the students' ideas and then making them their own and turning it into I call it a performance. I don't know, for me, it just makes them part of you, and you understand it. Where if someone's just telling you about it, you really don't grasp the concept. The students enjoy it. I mean, my first 6 months was rather rocky because I was doing what I had experienced. And then over the summer, I had taken ORF Level 1 at Eastman, and that just opened my eyes. This is what you do. You know, you present material, and then you take the students' ideas, and you just run with them. It's just, yeah. This is the way. They're happy to, you know, do things with a steady beat, to say the words, transfer them to instruments, and they experience the success. They want to make music. They want to be creative. And the music class is one of those places where they can be creative, because quite often in the classroom it's a little more regimented and the opportunities aren't always there. And I probably will have between 300 and 400 students that will come and sing Happy Birthday to me with the hopes of having a place in the chorus for this year. I mean, they want to express themselves. It works for all ages.
What do you love about what you do?
Oh, I think it's just the joy of making music with the students and watching them experience the same joy that I have when we make music.